Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Julia Felton is one of the world's leading experts in leadership development with horses. With over 25 years' experience of building and leading teams with companies like Anderson, Deloitte, she knows something about the skills required to lead authentically to achieve success. This extensive background in business enables her to easily translate and map what is happening with the horses into practical business lessons that are easily implementable back in the office. She has learnt some of her best business lessons from horses, and now she brings this powerful work to business owners and executive leaders to help them become more consciously aware of their impact and presence. Only through authentic communication can business become more authentic and conscious of the impact it is having on the world. Julia is an international speaker and author of two books, Unbridled Success, How the Secret Lives of Horses Impacts Leadership, Teamwork and Communication, and The Alchemy of Change, Ancient Wisdom Reinvented to Unleash the Hidden Potential of Leaders and Teams. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Really great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Sure. So, right now I run my own business. It's called Business Horsepower, and I am one of the world's leading experts in leadership development with horses. So I'm working with senior executives and business owners to really help them hone their leadership skills. And by that, I mean the skills that they need to both run their business and their life, because for me, they're sort of intrinsically linked. And I'm also working with them to help them create high performance teams, because I'm totally passionate about the fact that the current way we're running businesses isn't working, and how do we make businesses more sustainable and, more importantly, better places for us to want to go to work, places where we want to show up every day. So I'm working with business owners on that whole area of engagement as well. And I guess the core of the work, if I had to come down to one word, Leanne, is kind of connectivity. You know, how to get people connected to themselves, connected to other people, connected to the environment, because, you know, everything's integrated together. And so often when I'm out there working with clients, people are just so disconnected from what's going on around them. So kind of a broad business, but the key thing is within that, the way that I deliver a lot of that work is through partnering with my horses, because they are masters at helping people get connected back to who they are and what we truly, truly want in life, rather than what the kind of masks that I know certainly I put on when I was in the corporate world.
Yeah, I love that with the horses. It's I've heard a little bit of people here in Australia starting to look at that. So yeah. It's amazing the results they've been getting by using the horses.
Yeah, and it's something, I guess, that it's quite new. You know, it's quite cutting edge. But so right for right now where we are in business, because, as I said, you know, people so overwhelmed by information. We think we're so connected nowadays, but actually we're more disconnected than ever. So the horse is providing that perfect vehicle to get people more connected to themselves. But, you know, it's also, because it's so experiential, it's really talking as well to a lot of the millennial generation who are looking for not your traditional training and development programs, but are looking for something that's more cutting edge. And we all know that people learn more if they do it. You know, 70% of what we retain happens when we do it. So actually putting people out into experiences rather than making them sit in the classroom provides a massive return on investment for companies that engage in these types of activities.
Yeah, no, I love that. What about your story? What have you actually done to actually get to this point then?
What a great question. How long have we got? But let's have the concise version. So I used to love horses when I was a kid, but I never, ever had one. So they've kind of always been in the background of my life, but not something, as I said, I never owned a horse. I didn't buy my first horse until my early 30s, actually. But I always wanted to work with horses, and I used to spend this time working at riding stables. And then my parents told me, like, get a proper job. And so my whole passion that I had back there in my teenage years was totally crushed because I was told to get a proper job. So I actually ended up studying in hospitality and worked in a number of hotels around the world. And then I became a consultant for the hotel industry and worked for about 15 odd years at companies like Anderson and Deloitte. And I was actually brought in to set up a specialist hotels and leisure research team for them. So I was collecting statistics from hotels around the world and providing competitor performance analysis for them. So nothing to do with horses at all, completely different. I now realize that with hindsight, what I was actually a pioneer in the area of big data and company metrics. So very, very different from what I'm doing today. But I was very fortunate in that when I was actually brought into Arthur Anderson to set up that division, I now realize I was what has become known as an intrapreneur. So I was basically given my own division and said, you've got a blank piece of paper. And I came up with the concept and grew that business from that idea of a piece of paper to the global market leader. And to be honest, I had an amazing time doing it and I really, really loved it. But I got to a point in the business where for a long time I had been the golden girl and, you know, I really couldn't do anything wrong. And I'm launching the business and it was going really well. But as the business grew, all of a sudden, I wasn't enjoying it quite so much and my boss wasn't quite so happy with me and I could never quite understand why. And now I realize why. The reason was that my expertise is actually in creating and starting up businesses. And that's what I flourish at, that kind of, you know, strategic work, new ideas, business creation. And of course, as the business became more mature, it required a different set of skills from the ones I had. So although I was still leading the business, I was actually required to do quite a different role that I didn't really enjoy. So I ended up spending my time then taking the existing business in hospitality into new arenas such as health clubs. And I loved that. But of course, the result was that I had way too much on my plate. You know, I'm doing my current job, which I'm leading the team. I'm creating all these new products and services because that's where my passion is. And to be honest, I probably pretty much got burnt out. And along that way, my boss actually bought a coach in for me. I'd never had a coach before, and I was like, what's all this about? But anyway, I had a coach, and over the course of about 9 months, one of the things that came out of our coaching sessions together was that I ended up asking my boss for a sabbatical. I'll never forget the day I asked my boss for a sabbatical and he fell off his chair. No, I wasn't expecting it. So that's what I did. I took a sabbatical and I actually went and spent 6 months out in Colorado working with horses and then 6 months in Africa. And I think that was really my aha point in my career when I realized that work had just taken over everything that I did. And to be honest, I really didn't know who I was. I remember the first day when I got to Colorado on my sabbatical, and on the plane on the way over, I'd lost my mobile phone with all my contacts in. Oh, no. I'd never lost one before. I'd never lost one since, touch wood. I got there and I literally didn't know who I was. And I remember saying to the ladies at this ranch, what time do I need to get up tomorrow to come and feed the horses and do my chores? And they're like, whenever, there's no rush. And it was just, I was going from this system that was an environment that had been highly structured. You know, you get up every morning at whatever it is, 6 o'clock, you get to the train station, you go to work, you work all day, you get home at 9 o'clock. You're kind of on this treadmill. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to that when we just keep going and going and going and going. And this sabbatical gave me the opportunity to stop and take stock. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I don't even know who I am. I'd lost, as I said, all my contacts. And you know what I realized was I didn't know who I was. I sat on the on the deck of this ranch house in Colorado going, who am I? I really don't know. Because my whole identity had been tied up in my work situation. And I was known for the work I did. It had a very, very high profile in my industry at what I was doing. But I didn't actually know who Julia was at the core. And that was a very humbling and challenging time for me trying to figure out that.
Yeah. Do you think that was the tipping point for change, like a lightning bolt, or was it just that slow rumble up to that point?
It rumbled up to that. I was never expecting that. You know, when I arrived in Colorado, I was not expecting that. And then, of course, when it hit me like a lightning bolt and just kind of knocked me over. And I remember for the first week, I was virtually useless. I couldn't do anything because I was just processing what had been going on. And who was I now? And what was my role in life now that I didn't have my job that had defined me for so long? And, oh, it was actually quite a frightening time in a way, to realizing that, yeah, I'd become so disconnected from who I was. So, and I guess it kind of took me the whole course of that year to really figure out a bit more who I was, and to become comfortable with not having the job around as almost like this crutch and support that had defined me. And I realized, you know, Leanne, when I'm sitting there and, you know, I've got my jeans and, you know, my ranching gear on and I'm kind of back to nature, I was like, God, all those little suits and my stilettos, you know, wearing to work every day, they've been this, like this little mask, you know, I literally put on my little body armor and went to work every day. But I've been oblivious to that was the fact that that was going on. So very humbling when that situation happened to kind of have that aha moment. But as I said, not something I had seen coming at all. And, you know, when it did, I just kind of hit me over the head and went, whoa, where did that come from?
So what happened then? Did you decide to go back to work or did you then go, nope, not going back?
Oh, great question. Well, in my mind, I wasn't going back. And throughout that whole year, I really spent a lot of time reconnecting with myself. As I said, I spent some time in Africa as well. I think one of the things with going to Africa that was very, very prevalent for me was I actually ended up training to be a safari guide. Bit random, but what I realized was that when I was out in the African bush, the thing that really landed hard for me was that I realized I'd been going through life and I had like this big tick list of things I wanted to achieve. And I've been going through and I've been ticking things off, but I've never really experienced them. And the defining point there was somebody said to me, you know, they were going to go and swim with dolphins and who'd done it. And I was like, oh yeah, I've done that. I've swum with dolphins. So like, what was it like? It's like, I have no idea. I'd done it, but I'd not really experienced it. Mm. So I spent my time in the African bush really was about, how do I get present and be more focused and connected to myself out in nature? Because of course, you know, when you're in the bush, you've got to be very present or else you might be some lion's dinner. So that was a very grounding time and a time really to help me get present to realize that I needed to pay more attention in life. So, but what happened through that whole year journey was, although, you know, in my mind, I wasn't going back to my corporate job. As you can imagine, spending a year running around the world became quite an expensive exercise. And when I spoke to my boss about going back after my sabbatical, quite frankly, they made it suicidal not to go. Mm. You know, financially, it was just crippling not to go back. So I did, but I really wasn't fully into it anymore. I went back and did a slightly different role from the one I'd done before, because I'd said, you know, I can't expect my assistant to run the department for a year while I'm away and then go back and take that role away from her. So to be fair, my employers did create a new role for me. But actually in the course of going back, what happened was that the business needed a massive capital injection to upgrade all of our IT systems. And I did the whole business case for that for the firm. And the net result was actually we decided to sell the business. So I actually ended up going back to the business for a year. And in that time, I sold that whole business unit for them. So was that good or bad? It kind of took the whole thing to a closure, I guess. You know, I'd started the business. I'd now seen it through the whole product life cycle and I'd sold it at the end. So, you know, within a year, naturally, my role got made redundant because the business no longer existed. My whole team two-peed across with the business to the new company, but that wasn't appropriate for me to do. So it kind of mixed blessings about, you know, going back. It was really sad to sell it, but I'm kind of glad that I saw it through the entire kind of, you know, nurtured it, grew it, and then sold it on. So, yeah.
So going on from there, is that when you went into business for yourself after that?
Yes, although I must confess that was never the plan. I didn't have this great plan about when I left the corporate world, what was going to happen. To be honest, I really didn't know. I guess the first thing I did know when I left corporate was there was one childhood dream that I'd never done that I wanted to do. So I figured out, I had a redundancy check. I figured the first 3 months I would indulge my passion. And, you know, it was what I hadn't been able to do when I was a kid, which was train to be a riding instructor. So I took 3 months out and went to train to be a riding instructor. And it was very much, I have to confess, it was very much a bit of two fingers up to my parents. You know, I can now do this. You told me I couldn't do it when I was 16 or 17, and I'm now going to do it now. So I went and did that, and then I just kind of assumed I'd probably get a job, to be honest. But by this time, it was sort of 2009, so we're going into the financial crisis. And to be honest, I applied for a number of different roles, not really quite sure what to apply for, I've got to confess, because I'd effectively been running my own business. I wasn't an expert in marketing or finance or operations. I was good at everything like you have to be as a business owner. And of course, you know, applying for jobs, I just didn't fit into any of the standard roles. So I found myself actually if I was honest, not a great place, because I applied for all these roles that I knew I could do. And I had two big lever arch files of application forms, heard back from only a handful of them, and virtually never got an interview. I think I had one interview and I must have sent off about 50 or 60 applications. And the problem was that really dented my self-confidence. Hmm. I was like, oh my God, I can't do anything. I'm useless. So I ended up setting up my own business just because I found myself really unemployable. And I think like a lot of us, when we set up in business, I kind of muddled through it. My business has over the years had a number of different iterations. You know, when I first started, I was doing a bit of business consultancy and helping people with getting projects done and getting stuff done in their business. I then spent some time with a horse trainer actually over in America in San Diego. And I actually went over there on a contract to help her write a book, because in my corporate role, I'd written a number of different publications. So I went to help her write her book. She ended up training me actually in how to deliver her training methodology. And I came back and became her European instructor for delivering her work over here. And I did that for a number of years, but then I soon became drawn to working more with corporate owners and business leaders rather than horse owners. Because actually that melded both of my skill sets together. It gave me the time of being with the horses and my experience and knowledge of working with horses, but it also enabled me to leverage all of my corporate experience. And what my clients say that I do really well is that I'm able to translate everything that's happening with the horses back to real life business situations. And of course, that's the importance with anything, whereas a coach, consultant, trainer, mentor, when we're working with clients, is how do we land it back to something that they can really, really relate to? So yeah, so it was the start of my journey, but not a planned journey. I'd love to say it was scripted out and, you know, spent years planning for this, but it just kind of fell into it.
Did you have challenges on the way that made you think, oh, maybe I'll just throw in the towel and try again to get back into like a corporate job? Or
oh god, yes. I think if I'm honest, it was, you know, I thought, how difficult can it, this was my thinking, how difficult can it be to run a business? huge mistake. And the mistake I made was that I spent a lot of time when I first set up my business learning all the strategies and tactics to employ in business, you know, whether it's social media training, you know, doing your account, you know, how to have great sales conversations, all the kind of process type stuff, you know, Facebook ads, all that kind of stuff was all coming out then and becoming very prevalent. And it never occurred to me that there was this thing called mindset. Whoops. Because in the corporate world, we didn't really ever talk about mindset. You know, I knew about being positive, but not to the extent that, you know, I feel that in business, you know, you've got to totally believe in your products and your services. You've got to be really resilient as a business owner. And yeah, really focused and disciplined to be successful. And I just wasn't a lot of those things, to be honest, at the beginning. And I now firmly believe that business success is 80% mindset and 20% strategies. And I had that flipped on its head to begin with. I was doing all the strategies and none of the softer type skills. So that ended up leading to a whole series of, you know, personal development in order to learn those skills. So, you know, the challenges really came from not understanding and having any knowledge, because I'd never done any personal development work really. That whole piece was really the missing piece. And that was the challenge initially. And, you know, and to some extent still is, you know, I think we're always on a journey of developing ourselves and finding out more about ourselves. And that was certainly mine at the beginning. It continues to be.
So what does keep you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have a big vision, or is it just that you had to do it out of necessity?
Oh no, definitely have a big vision. I guess in the short term, it's always, how am I going to keep feeding my horses? That's always a big necessity. Particularly as I've got a herd of four horses, Leanne, but three of them I've rescued. So I feel a real social responsibility to look after them and give them the best that's possible for them, because, you know, I took that on as a responsibility. So, you know, that whenever the option of failure is coming up, or, you know, challenges, it's always like, well, you know, you need to look after these horses. You made a commitment to that. But alongside that, the bigger vision is that, I want to make the work of partnering with the horses as a mainstream part of leadership development company training programs, because I truly believe that if we could all get a lot more connected to ourselves, that has a ripple effect through the world, and everyone would go home and feel a lot better about themselves, so their wives and their husbands will feel better, their kids will feel better, and it just permeates out. So the bigger vision is a retreat center, or a number of retreat centers around the world, where people come, they get amazing entrepreneurial education to help them grow their business, but they also spend time with the horses, and the horses are teaching us that more heart center piece of the business. And we also rescue horses as well. So we're rescuing the horses, rehabilitating them. They're teaching the business owners and leaders. And the business owners and leaders are funding the rehabilitation of more horses. So I think that forms a nice little kind of self-sustaining ecosystem. And that's what I'd love to see. So that, you know, the work just gets the the credence and the credibility that it deserves, because it's so incredibly powerful and can have such a massive impact on people's lives if we just gave people the opportunity to experience it.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's fantastic. What's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to in the future?
Oh, wow. Most exciting thing. Well, there's lots of really exciting things on the horizon. I think a number of collaborations that I've got in the pipeline with people. And I think as a business owner, that was one big thing for me, was learning that I needed to collaborate and joint venture with other people. When I first set up the business, I was like, yay, no team members, awesome, no staff appraisals, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. But actually what I realized was that with my type of personality, I need to have people around me to thrive. So I've actively spent the last couple of years developing a lot of strategic alliances, joint venture partnerships, stuff like that, because that's what makes me the best I can be. And then that enables me to give my clients the best experience too. So I think that's probably one of the most exciting things. I'm also excited to be re-releasing one of my books in the new year. So that's been a little bit of a labor of love redoing that, but excited to have that going out again. So there's lots of really cool things happening on the horizon. So really excited about that.
Yeah, thanks. Sounds fantastic. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay, cool.
All right, what's your favorite book?
So actually, you know, my favorite book I've decided recently is Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
Yes,
because everything starts there. And I guess that has been part of my revelation or my journey, is that if you're not clear on the purpose, you've got no reason to get out of bed in the morning. So, you know, no reason to live. And it's really getting clear on your purpose, the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that book had such a profound influence on me on my journey. So I think I put that up in one of my top books up there.
Who's the mentor figures that's helped you the most?
Oh, gosh, I've had loads of different mentors over the years. I think an early mentor that I had was John Assaraf when I lived out in San Diego. Loved working with him. All of his neuroscience, super interesting. So really he's had a big impact. And then the horse trainer I spent time with out in San Diego as well, a lady called Carolyn Resnick. Just because it wasn't just about the horses, she really helped me land the horses back into personal development and really helped me grow as a person. So I think probably those two people, but of course the horses have always been my best mentors as well. Because every day there seems to be something new that I should know that I don't know.
Do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
So the one that I do to get grounded every day, literally, is I have to go out to my horse's field and I have to shovel up the shit in the field every day. And it's a very meditative experience, actually, every day. And it keeps me really grounded and really focused. And I get a lot of thinking and connectiveness, being out there in nature and just doing something that mindless, but it's almost like in that kind of meditative state. So, yeah. That's not the answer you're expecting, I know.
It was not, no. But I like it. Don't think I'd do it myself personally. But Oh, do you have a favourite food?
Smoked salmon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you like the country or the city?
Oh, country, 1,000%. Yeah.
Couldn't say that.
Yeah. Absolutely love the country.
What's your biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change?
Ooh, I think it's to have a fallback plan, because I know there's loads of coaches and mentors out there that say, take the leap and just do it. But you know what? That can be... For some people that can be too much. And I had some redundancy money in the background, which really helped. But I think, you know, the other reason I say this as well is that, you know, we've all got great ideas and things that we're really passionate about, but it's making sure that there's a market to buy what you want to do. So I know that some of my early forages into business, they were things I loved to do, but they weren't things other people wanted to buy because it wasn't solving a big enough problem for somebody else. So let me just take an example. One of my the first iterations when I was doing some of that horse training work, you know, my sales statement was, do you want to have a better relationship with your horse? You know, and most people didn't want to admit they didn't have a great relationship. So people didn't want to buy. It wasn't enough pain around it. So I think it for me, it's that the biggest piece of advice really is to have a fallback plan. Make sure that what you want to take out to the market is really solving a problem the market needs and not just something that you think is a nice to do, because otherwise the business is never going to be sustainable. And so with that, it's like, it's that get out, do it, pivot and change and keep refining the product. I think, you know, where I spent too long was I sat here behind my desk and, you know, I quite like doing stuff on my computer as well. So, you know, I was coming up with all these great ideas and perfecting it. But it's only when you get out and talk to customers do you realize if they want to buy it. And you can waste so much time and energy and effort creating things that nobody want to buy. So I think that would be the biggest piece of advice, is just get on, do it, and then be able to be flexible enough to pivot to you know, accommodate what the market really wants. Yeah. You know, while also keeping, you know, your vision in mind at the end, but because sometimes you'll get to it a different way from where you thought you were going to get to it.
Yeah, great advice. All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Oh, I think it would be a little bit what I just alluded to there. It would be that just get on, do it, put it out, even though it's not perfect, you know. Coming from a corporate career, I was like, it has to be very professional and just right. And I think what I've learned along the way is it's not professional right. It needs to be authentic. I think that's a much better way of describing it. And I know that if I look back on my business career, I've taken a lot of advice from mentors along the way. Some has worked, some hasn't worked. And I think it's about being true to yourself along the way. Because what's the strategy that works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person, depending on our personality and our makeup. So I think that would be the one biggest advice is, you know, do what feels true to you. And if somebody else tells you to be running Facebook ads, if that's not what's your thing, don't be doing it. Because you're never going to be energetically aligned with it. And so it's always going to fail. Mm. So it's... It's finding the things that make your heart sing, that really resonate with you, that are authentic for you, rather than doing things that everyone says, you should do this in order to be successful. Because I think we've all got our own different path to navigate, and great, take on board what works for other people and then use that to hone and craft the solution that works for you, that's authentic and genuine for you. Because when you show up in that authentic and genuine space, then that's when you can connect to clients, business opportunities, and the money much easier.
Well, thank you so much for your valuable time, Julia, and sharing.
Thank you.
I love that. Thank you. And would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Sure. If people would love to contact me, I would love to speak to you. Always love to connect with other people. So the best place is probably at my website, which is businesshorsepower.com. So that's businesshorsepower.com. You'll also find me on LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn is just Julia Felton, or on Facebook, we're at businesshorsepower.com. Facebook/businesshorsepower.
Yep.
If you're okay with it, Leanne, I would love to offer your listeners a copy of one of the books that I've written, if that's okay.
Certainly is, yes.
Yeah, so I've written a book called Unbridled Success, which is about my experiences of everything I've learned from the horses. So it kind of shares about all the different leadership attributes I've learned from the horses: teamwork, intuition, energy, communication. And if anyone would like to download that, you can download a free e-copy on my website, which is businesshorsepower.com/unbridled-success-book. So that's businesshorsepower.com/ unbridled-success-book. So I'd love it if people want to have a read and find out a bit more about the work I do, they can do that through the book.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Igniters, Julia's relationships with horses and business owners is awesome. I love how she says get out, do it, pivot and change. I love her generosity in offering us a copy of her book, Unbridled Success, which can be downloaded from her website, www.businesshorsepower.com/unbridled-success-book, with dashes in between. You can also find her on LinkedIn or on Facebook under Business Horsepower. If you are tired of sacrificing your time to everyone else and want some pathways to reconnect with yourself and learn how to add adventure and sparkle to your life, go to my website, ignitepodcast.com.